Our gospel lesson for this morning comes to us from the Gospel of John, the 11th chapter selected verses. Listen to God's word. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who anointed the Lord with her perfume and wiped his feet with her hair. And her brother, Lazarus, was ill. So the sisters sent a message to Jesus, saying, "Lord, the one whom you love is ill." But when Jesus heard it, he said, "This illness does not lead to death. Rather, it is for God's glory, so that the Son of God may be glorified in it." Accordingly, though Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, after her hearing that Lazarus was ill, he stayed for 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then he said to his disciples, "Let's go to Judea again." When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him." Jesus said, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." And Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" Martha said, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God who has come into the world." When she had said this, she went back and called to her sister Mary and told her privately, "The teacher is here. He's calling for you." So when Mary came and saw that where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would never have died." When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to Jesus, "Come and see." And Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, there's already a stench, because he has been dead for 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. And as Jesus looked upward, he said, "Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but for the sake of the crowd standing here, said this so that they may believe that you have sent me." When he said this, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" And the dead man came out, his hands and his feet bound with strips of cloth, his face bound with a cloth. Then Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Loving of gracious and gracious God, we come to you with hearts filled with hope, longing to hear your word and know how you break into our lives. So open our eyes and ears and hearts and minds to you, And may the words of my mouth and the meditation on all of our hearts be acceptable to you, our rock and redeemer. Amen. He's got the whole world in his hands. 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 We've learned this song since the time when we could sing. We've sat in our Sunday school classrooms and encircled time in vacation Bible school, and we've swept our arms wide, making the shape of the world, and we've cupped our tiny hands together, imagining the great big hands of God holding us now, holding us then. We sing this song to each other. We look our brothers and our sisters in their eyes and we say, he's got you. He's got you. He's got you in the palm of his hands. We've been taught from infancy to now that no matter what is going on in our lives, no matter what hardship or trial is rolling our way, God has got us in God's grasp. And just won't let us go. But sometimes life tells us another story. Along the way, we learn that we're vulnerable, that we can fall and scrape our knees and get hurt, that we get sick and we'll get sick again someday. And sometimes we learn the inevitable truth that all of us will die someday. There's suffering in the world, suffering that comes in the form of cancer and car accidents, suffering that comes in the form of war and human trafficking, suffering that comes in the form of abuse of the powerless, through the hoarding of wealth by the wealthy, through the legislation in this country and abroad that limits the basic human rights of people, limiting the freedoms of others. And as we have been reminded throughout this Lenten season, as we have sung spirituals, the story of our nation, founded on principles and freedom of and democracy, do not tell the same story to everyone. We remember that the freedoms that were upheld in our Constitution were denied to the natives who lived in this land, to women of every race, and to men and women and children brought across the oceans, enslaved, sold into bondage, held as possessions of white male landowners. Freedom wasn't for everyone. But still we sing. He's got you and me, brother, in his hands. He's got you and me, sister, in his hands. He's got you and me, brother, in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. Jesus receives word that a dear friend has grown sick. But as we hear in our gospel lesson that when Jesus and his disciples arrive in Bethany days later, that sudden sickness has turned to death 4 days ago. Jesus' beloved friend Lazarus had been laying in the tomb for 4 days, wrapped in cloths from head to toe, and a community and a family have been changed. Sisters are left alone. Life has stopped, not just for Lazarus, but for everyone who is missing him. Even Jesus is moved to tears. And as it would be for most of us, the scene of loss is a scene of confusion. Jesus is greeted by Mary and Martha, who speak the words of lament that come out of our hearts and our minds when we suffer a loss too. Even if those words just sit tucked in the silent places of our hearts. Jesus, if you had been here, this never would have happened. Jesus, couldn't you have fixed this? Look at all that you have done. You've opened the eyes of the blind and healed the sick. Couldn't you have stopped this? We thought you loved us. We thought we were part of your family. Couldn't you work your miracles for us too? Mary and Martha raise the questions over and over again that we have spoken. Where is Jesus in the midst of suffering? If God is for us, then why is there violence of war and bullying and police brutality? Why are there mudslides and earthquakes and missing planes that are so far outside of anyone's control? Why is there illness that can only be fought valiantly with no healing in sight? Why do we sing, "He's got the whole world in his hands," if all of us still no struggling, still no suffering? If all of us will die someday too. Spirituals invite us into this question, for we ourselves see in the tradition of the spirituals that songs of faith emerged from a community of believers who knew oppression deeply. In the singing of spirituals, songs of faith passed through the lips of those who have known suffering unlike that which many of us will ever know, even in our darkest days. The spirituals make a theological claim that the chains of this world will not hinder the glory that is to come. The spirituals state a truth that even though there are others who assume and abuse power, God's redemptive power in and through Jesus Christ will have the ultimate say. The spirituals remind us that although there are those who seek to tell us lies about who we are, those who seek to diminish our value and our worth, and speak to us an identity that oppresses us, we have an identity in the Christ who sets all people free. The spirituals remind us that we are children of a loving God, redeemed by grace and sustained by faith. God has us in the palm of God's hands. James Cone, an African-American liberation theologian, writes this: without the knowledge of God that comes through divine fellowship, the oppressed would not know that what the world says about them is a lie. They would have to believe what they are made to believe through police sticks and guns. But if one has a relationship with the resurrected one, then one can know that one has an identity that cannot be taken away with guns and bullets. This is the identity we claim at the font. This is the identity we celebrate as we gather around the table. This is the identity that we profess when we go out and share our God's love with others through the work of our hands and the openness of our hearts. He's got you and me, neighbor, in his hands. He's got all of God's children in his hands. He's got you and me, neighbor, in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. Jesus steps up to the tomb against the objections of Martha, against the rationale of the day, and commands that they roll away the stone. He calls to Lazarus, asking the dead one to stand up and come out into the light of day. And then Jesus issues the final call to all who are surrounding, saying, unbind him. Take off those grave cloths. He is alive. And Jesus does this with us too. For our lives are filled with these many resurrections where hopelessness is chased away by hope, where despair gives way to joy, where a lost cause is turned on its heels and gives way to possibility. After months of treatment of cancer, the tumor is shrunk, or a loved one enters remission. After months of physical therapy, one who could not walk can walk again. After months of marital counseling, reconciliation is known. After years of parental worry, a child meets the 1-year anniversary of their sobriety. After an extended period of being laid off from work, the call comes. Employment is ours again. And after years of estrangement from a loved one, healing has begun. The list goes on and on. What's more, the call that is issued to the crowd outside the tomb is issued to us. We too are called to participate in these everyday resurrections, to feed those who are hungry, to minister to those who are sick, to shelter the homeless, to welcome the marginalized, to free the oppressed. And sometimes we are called to participate simply by stepping forth in faith to see the light of day that is breaking through the opening of the tomb that has held us back. Frederick Douglass writes of his escape from the bondage of slavery to freedom in the North. He tells the story of disguising himself as a mariner, riding on the train from Maryland to New York. He knows that New York is not safe enough. His journey continues on to Nantucket. From there, he writes these words. The fifth day after my arrival, I put on the clothes of a common laborer and went upon the wharves in search of work. On my way down Union Street, I saw a large pile of coal in front of the home of Reverend Ephraim Peabody, a Unitarian minister. I went to the kitchen door and I asked for the privilege of bringing in and putting away the coal. What will you charge? Said the lady. I will leave that to you, madam. You may put it away, she said. I was not long in accomplishing the job when the dear lady put into my hand 2 silver half dollars. To understand the emotion that swelled my heart as I clasped this money, realizing that I had no master who could take it away from me, that it was mine. My hands were my own and could earn more of that precious coin. One must have been, in some sense, himself a slave. There are everyday resurrections. They emerge even within stories of suffering, even within systems that oppress, even within questions and laments. Christ tells us we have cause to hope. For God in Christ entered our despair. Weeping with us, God breathes new life into the devastation around us and calls us to life and life abundant. God calls us out of the tombs which hold us, inviting us to step into the light of day and live. God calls us away from those things that destroy us. Addictions and greed and cruelty and lies, racism and sexism and heterosexism and war and poverty and fear and hate. God calls us to a new way, to that which heals, forgives, nurtures, redeems, loves. We are a resurrection people. We know everyday resurrections that free us from the tombs of the woundedness of our lives. They may not look as remarkable as Lazarus' exit from the tomb, but even in our lives, grace breaks in. When we are able to find the energy to roll out of bed and put clothes on after we have lost a loved one. When one who is struggling can feel the warmth of the sun upon their face and have some moments to smile. When somebody embraces us, even though we have been told we're unworthy of love, our lives are filled with everyday resurrections that remind us that even where our brokenness threatens to define us, God's redemptive love for us will have the final say. Everyday resurrections are for us too. They point to the transforming power of Christ's resurrection as it breaks into the world and holds a claim on us for the life that is to come. And our gospel story for today serves as a sign to us of Christ's ultimate victory over death. We are reminded of the tomb that could not hold Jesus. For God in Christ is raised to new life, but not merely resuscitated more of the same life, but resurrected eternal life. Even as we hear the good news of Lazarus' story, we know he's gonna die another day. The miracle about which we read today will not last forever. Lazarus will get sick. He will be wrapped in grave clothes again and be laid in that tomb. But the resurrected Christ is a new creation. Christ's risen body is one that will never die again. And so we have cause to hope. For in our baptism, we are promised that in Christ, we are heirs of salvation, that we too will inherit the resurrected life to which Christ has called us. Even with the afflictions of this world that hold us back or wound us, in Christ, we are extended a certain victory. The promise of eternal life in him. Life in the one over whom the grave had no hold. Brothers and sisters, we have reason to hope. We have reason to take heart, and we have reason even to sing. For God in Christ really does have the whole world in his hands. Thanks be to God. Amen.